have on this program, we have politicians, civic officials, people like that who are from the Rokan Show district, is the way I was looking at it. Like, Adam Kinzinger is our congressman. Even though he doesn't represent our area, he's the congressman for the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis district.
Sure.
Alderman Brendan Riley really is the alderman from the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis district, because you represent this building, do you not, sir?
The downtown district.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there you go. So this makes it actually official. And Brendan Riley has stepped into the studio, and now you're in a bit of a contretemps. with the mayor. That's something that happens from time to time, I've noticed, in your career.
Yeah.
And it was with every mayor, too. Lapdog to none, I would say, of Brendan Riley.
At least I'm consistent.
Yeah.
Love that about you.
No,
stand
good.
Up to him when you feel like it.
Part of the job.
Yeah. You know. And the Fighting 42nd. And Alderman, let's talk about this for a second. We got this Airbnb. Now, this has become a big issue, not just for here in Chicago, but around the world, right, where Airbnb operates. And Airbnb is an app where it's part of the sharing economy, where if you want to have, like, you got your house or a room or your apartment or whatever it is, and you want to rent it out to somebody, you just put it up on Airbnb and you charge, a rate that allows you to go couch surf and then collect the money, essentially, right?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's been a problem, because Airbnb, you know, the people who show up to, you don't necessarily know who the people are who are showing up.
That's right.
And sometimes they just go and they, you know, they treat the property and the neighbors and everybody else like poop, because they can, because they're renting.
Right. That's right. They're just there for a night or two. No regard for the neighbors. Look, there are a lot of folks that use Airbnb that behave themselves. They're perfectly good guests, and you'd hardly even know they were there. But as a city council, we have to legislate to the lowest common denominator and to the bad actors. And anecdotally, we've got lots and lots of examples in my ward and across the north side of the city where folks take a single-family home or a townhome and turn it into a bachelor party for 3 days. And really, the folks who suffer most are all the neighbors around it. So it's wonderful for the host to make some extra money, but there's a real quality of life impact when one of these places goes wrong.
Do you know what I'm hearing? You know,
what are you hearing,
Rob? You know what I'm hearing?
I don't know what you're hearing. Because you hear voices in your head that sometimes I don't hear.
Well, here's something I've heard. I'm like Trump. You know, I heard somebody said something really nice about me. I heard that this has become something with teenagers where they all will pool some money together.
Ooh.
And they will Airbnb an apartment somewhere in, you know, near the school or whatever it is. And, you know, sometimes you can get something for, you know, a couple hundred bucks a night. And if 10 kids each put in 20 bucks, you got it. And so when the other kid's got the app and he's making the juice and doing the whole deal, somebody's got a credit card or a debit card, and it works. And then they go and they just trash the place. And it's a crash pad. It's a place for the kids to go have the sex and do the drugs.
Yeah. That's true.
But what percentage of that do you think is out there? And I know it's all anecdotal right now, because I've used Airbnb when I've traveled, and I've had wonderful experiences. I went to Savannah, Georgia. I rented this elderly lady's townhome for a weekend. It was beautiful. She had all these old books there about the area. And I just had a great experience. There was no trashing going on. There was nothing. And that's been my experience with Airbnb. I just wonder what percentage is actually abusing it. And those who are abusing it, can't you call 311 on them just like any other neighbor when they're being rowdy and crazy?
Oh, my God. 311. Have you ever called 311?
I do. I call them.
Yeah. And what do they do?
Come on.
Call 911.
But come on. There are parties all over the place, no matter what. I mean, I'm just wondering how many of them become party zones,
so to speak. Well, you know, we would love to be able to answer that question. However, these sharing platforms like Airbnb refuse to share their data with the city of Chicago, the people who are supposed to be regulating them.
So that's what you'd like to change.
Well, that's one of the reforms that's been proposed, which I think is a good thing. But we don't have data at all. And for years now, while Airbnb has been operating illegally in the city of Chicago, because we have a set of regulations on the books today, we've been trying every which way to get a hold of their data to get a better sense of really what's the universe of units in Chicago.
No, wait, say that again. So
they
operating illegally?
Correct. Yeah,
back to that. What does that mean?
So the reason I've been really involved in this debate is several years ago, back in 2010, we had this going on before Airbnb really existed. People were doing this kind of thing on Craigslist, and these were folks that
they're doing
that,
more than that on Craigslist.
Oh gosh, that world! That right don't now. Even get us started. Yeah.
But anyway, so they were renting out the places that you have to. What's illegal about that? What is the city ordinance that prohibits that?
Well, let me explain how we got there, and I'll be real quick. But the problem in 2010 was you had a lot of folks who had bought condominium units, and the economy had then tanked. So we were in a global recession still, and they had extra units. Units they don't live in. These were investment properties. And they realized it was a really lucrative business to turn these into nightly rentals. And so it kind of developed on its own, became incredibly popular. And I had condo buildings downtown that were effectively running like hotels.
Weird.
And so if you're a neighbor in a condo building, this is your biggest investment, your home. Mm-hmm. And on each side of your unit, you've got these crazy bachelor parties going on and frat parties. On a nightly basis, it's going to drive you crazy and make you call your alderman. And so I got a lot of phone calls, and I was asked to put together a regulatory regime to get this thing under control. And it required you to apply for a license from the city. It's a two-year license for $250. Not a lot of money. You probably make that back your first night or two.
Right.
But it requires that you have a safety plan so your guests know how to get out of the unit safely if there's a fire. Making sure that it has proper ingress and egress, all these sorts of things that people expect to have a safe stay when they stay in a hotel or a bed and breakfast. And so I put these on the books.
Responsible keepers of inns, essentially.
Yeah, there you go. And so I put this law on the books. It took us 2 years to pass it. 30 different drafts were debated over, and we finally got something done. Then Airbnb shows up on the scene, and they decide, well, those regulations don't work for us. We're sharing. We're different. And they decided that they should.
We have hemp shirts.
You do not.
so that and that's what how we landed here today. The city's been trying to enforce the ordinance. But frankly, the Airbnb platforms don't give you an address when they market the unit. They show a picture of a house in the neighborhood.
Right, then you'd contact the person directly, and then...
Not until you give them your money do you find out where the thing actually is.
Right.
So for regulators, it's very, very hard to track these. We've done some of our own analysis, and there's over 5,000 units being used this way in Chicago today.
And you couldn't even crack down on this if you wanted to right now.
Well, it's difficult, and we only have 171 of those units are properly licensed. So over 5,000 are operating aside from the law.
Yeah, you'd have to have investigators. You'd have to do sort of sting investigations like they do with taxi cabs. And
that's right.
Like that.
And as you know, the city does not have a lot of manpower. We've been cutting and slashing. And so from a regulatory and enforcement perspective, we don't have a lot of the tools we need. On the reverse of it, New York City, which is taking this issue very seriously, they just put $10 million a year into enforcement on this. Because not only is it a quality of life issue in New York, it's starting to eat up their affordable housing stock.
Well, it's also a business impact. And they have affordable housing because of rent control in New
That's
York,
right.
which is legendary.
Yeah.
And then we don't really have that here, effectively. They have that. And the hotel industry is so gigantic.
They've got to be concerned, I'm sure.
Right.
Because they get taxed in a big way for people to stay at hotels. And if people are using these as sort of absent hotel lords operating multiple properties,
right.
you might think there should be a tax outcome there.
It's tax avoidance. It's Donald Trumpian. Hey, but here's the problem. I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to roll the grenade into the tent, and then I'm going to run away, do a commercial break, and come back. But it does seem
Sounds
to
fair.
Me like the mayor's office has been very, and I know you've now said this publicly, which is something I've been thinking privately, which is that you got the hipster millennials with the skinny jeans. Mm. Right? And the tight
You're
t-shirts.
Just jealous because you can't wear the skinny jeans. You just are.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. 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 What is it about me today?
I don't know.
So anyway, the point is that these people, they've got and they're constantly on their phones, and they're constantly texting themselves their own thoughts.
Sure.
That's how much they're on their phones. It seems to me that those people have gotten the ear of the mayor, and whether it's Airbnb or Uber. There's a couple things about Uber in Chicago I'm deeply troubled about.
Yeah, sure.
And it seems to me that those people are now they're running, they're doing whatever the hell they want to do, despite the fact that there have been damn it, there are rules about this kind of thing around here, and I want to talk to you about that because I mean I don't know how is it possible that Uber no one can pick up and drop off people on the upper deck. You know, of O'Hare,
right.
like, and sit there. No one can sit on the arrivals part of O'Hare for very good reason. And we just talked to a Connecticut senator about this. They want to keep traffic moving. They got those crazy people. Some of the least popular people in America are those people who are working in the traffic at O'Hare, right? And departures and arrivals. And yet now a car can just go sit there. They got a little airplane on the back window, and they can just sit there, and it's fine. Nobody's going to ask any questions. And you're like, wait a second. Never in the history of this town has that ever been allowed. Not since you could pull up to the front door at Midway and plug a meter, which you used to be able to do for like 3 days at a time. Not since then have you been able to pull up to an airport like they do now. But they're special because the mayor's brother owns the thing. I'm troubled. But we'll be right back to Alderman Riley in just a second. All right. Alderman Brendan Riley is in the studio with us. We're talking about the debate that is raging now in the shared economy of all of the kids who are working for the mayor's office right now. And listen, we want everybody involved. This is the way of the world, the app world, the economies that now surround that. They're driving the general economies, but they are interrupting standard kind of bricks and mortar, the bricks and mortar world where people have actually invested, whether it was a guy who, you know, came here and from another country and invested $150,000, found a way to get his family and everybody else who put $150,000 on a cab medallion.
Yeah.
And now the guys in Uber can do 10 times as many things without any regulations as they want. And those poor guys, those cab medallions are become essentially worthless.
That's right.
You've got Airbnb where you got these hoteliers and other people who've actually invested in creating an experience for somebody who's going to pay the money to stay with them, and then they get taxed on that experience. And now you can go stay in somebody else's house without any safety or, you know, care for your
inspections, all of the important stuff people want to know they're traveling safe.
Right. I mean, why is the mayor? I'm asking you a question about him, but I want to know the answer. Why do they think that this is so great?
Well, look, I mean, first of all, he's got some really smart people working for him, and, you know, your age is not that important, but let's be honest, you know, the app fascination and technology, that's really geared toward younger people. Emerging technologies are exciting to younger people. They use it first. They're early adopters.
Right.
So I think there's some, it's natural that younger members of his staff would be in awe of these things. But I think they need to recognize what you just said, which, you know, while they're disruptive to the older economies, they need to also play by some rules. You can't have an unlevel playing field. One of the hard things about writing policy is trying to keep up with technology, right? The government's always a little bit behind. So no one here is talking about getting rid of Airbnb. It's having them fall within some regulatory structure where we know it'll be safe and they're paying some taxes and they're not completely gutting an existing industry. For me, though, it's not really the fight between the hoteliers and Airbnb. It's the impact on the people who have to live with it. And that's my main concern. And most of us on the council really don't look at it as a fight between Airbnb and hotels. The industries look at it that way.
Yeah.
But our constituents are saying, hey, we need some help. We need some protections. And there needs to be recourse if these folks aren't behaving well.
Right. And who do you call?
And you see cities across the United States grappling with this very question. And it's making headlines, it seems like, certainly monthly, if not weekly. There are a couple cities on the West Coast who have already said 30 days is the minimum amount you can rent your house out for because
they
don't want the transient communities and they don't want all of that stuff happening, and they're heavily starting to regulate it. Chicago will catch up, but I guess it's a matter of striking this delicate balance.
That's it. And you know, look, I appreciate the mayor not wanting to completely snuff out an emerging industry. You know, there is a revenue potential. That's how he's looking at it, I think, generally.
Well, let's get on that, Alderman.
I don't look at it for the revenue. I'm looking at more as, you know, an issue of fairness and what's right for the neighbors. But you're right, Anna. There are a lot of cities who have said, you know, we're not going to try and strike a balance. We're just going to throw these guys out of town. It's interesting. During the committee debate earlier this week, I asked an executive from Airbnb on the record in front of lots and lots of people. You haven't been obeying the law to date. If we pass a new law and you don't like it, will you abide by that law? And this executive sat there for a minute and did not answer the question.
Did he have a lawyer with him?
Oh, my God.
Did he have counsel with him?
The lawyer looked like he was going to get sick. But that,
did they do that thing where they cover the microphone and then they
whispered for a good 25, 30 seconds in this executive
answer the question. Do not answer that question.
Right. And she wouldn't. She equivocated and she basically at the end of it, when we finally pressed her, said, yeah, probably not. So
don't say that. Oh, come on.
So I got to figure any other city in America that hears that, and I'm sure that's going to go viral here not too far from now. That needs to give you pause, because if you have an industry that's valued at $25.5 billion, that's not sharing, right?
Right.
Highly profitable, that's saying to local municipalities, yeah, write all the rules you want. We're not going to let them apply
to
us.
Yeah.
But aren't they taking the same approach that I've heard Uber talk about, is that they're a technology platform.
Sure.
They like to call themselves. Uber doesn't call itself a transportation company. And I've heard the Airbnb folks say the same thing. Oh, we're just the platform.
Right.
We're not in charge of the industry. You'd have to go to the homeowners if you want to. You
say
want
platform.
To
say platform.
Yeah, just technology
right.
platform.
So, Ro, if you start a new technology platform and mm-hmm. you develop an app and mm-hmm. you want to do pot sharing out of your house, how do we handle that? You know, but wait, I can't sell pot out of my house recreationally, but I've got a platform and I'm sharing.
Right.
I'm sorry. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying, Anna, but bottom line, these companies don't just offer up these properties. They facilitate it. They sign them up. They, in some cases, advise their clients how to avoid regulations or
right.
getting caught. I think they're a little bit more culpable than they'd like you to think.
Yeah.
I'd agree.
So that's a real issue.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm trying to think of what I'm going to name it now.
Your pot company?
Your pot app?
Yeah.
Pot to pot?
Goober.
Poober?
Poober.
I don't know.
No, I already have that one too. That's not for that's not for pot.
Duber.
All right. Yeah, Duber. There
Duber.
We go. That's it. There, that's what we were looking for.
You got it.
Oh,
well,
Kevin.
You know, thanks, Alderman. Thanks for the help with that.
So when I leave politics, Ro, I'll give you a call and we can go into business with our platform.
Exactly. You know how much money we would make on Duber?
Dude,
oh,
it would be really
God.
Cool.
I know.
And we could share it.
Yeah. Be ripping some.
Ripping dude.
Ripping dude. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kev. All right. Thank you, Alderman. Appreciate it. Alderman Brendan Riley.
Thanks, Alderman
Fighting
Riley.
42nd.
Thanks for having me.